All right, we're beginning here on the top of Nun Bet Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the Mishnah and the tumult that affect the Nazir, undermine his Nizirut. The Mishnah mentions Hadshidra Vahagulgolet, the spinal column and the skull. Ibayiluhu, that part of the Mishnah, Shidra Vigulgolet Tanan, is it the spinal column and a skull? Odilma Oshidra Ogulgolet. Is it a spinal column or a skull? So that piece of the Mishnah, is it defining for you two items together that together make him Tameh? Or is it telling you these two items, each one independently, can make him Tameh mate and undermine his Nizirut? So Etzem Kisaora is Mitameh B'mago Masa, that's later on in the Mishnah, but the first items in the Mishnah are Mitameh B'mago Masa U'Be'ohel. So here we're talking about things that would be Mitameh even Be'ohel. In addition, remember that when we discussed the Mishnah, there was a parallel Mishnah in Oholot. The same question we're asking on our Mishnah is relevant to the Mishnah in Oholot. That's what Tosafot says, that the question that we're asking here is equally relevant to the Mishnah in Oholot, and they're really asking on both Mishnayot. When the Mishnayot mention Shidra and Gulgolet, do they mean and, or do they mean or? Amarova Tashma. Shidra Shigered Rov Ilin Shiba. If you have a spinal column of which they broke off the majority of the ribs that were on it, Tehora, then it's no longer deemed to be a spinal column, and it's Tehora. Ubikever, if it's in the grave, Afilu Mishuberet, even if it is broken, Omifureket, or separated into parts, Tmeya. It is Tmeya Mipnei Shehakever, because of the grave itself. Which, as Tosfot points out, you can see it in the Tosfot, you can see it in the Rosh as well, Dehachi Gemirit. That's Allah the Moshe Misinai, that the grave associates anything that's in it to become a single entity. So even though if this was outside the context of a grave, it would be considered to be broken or not the complete item that you need in order to become Tameh, when it's found in the grave, even in its component parts, the grave is mitzaref, the items, and to make them into a whole entity, and it's mitameh, not from any logical standpoint, but simply because that's the lech of the Moshe Misinai, that the kever is mitzaref them. Taima mishim degered. The reason that Rova says that the Tosefta believes that you are tehora over here is because gered, you broke off the ribs. The majority of the ribs were broken off. Halo gered, if they were not broken off, tamei shmamina. From here you would conclude o shidra o gulgolet. You would conclude one or the other, meaning that you have a statement in the Tosefta which indicates when the spinal column is tehora. That is when the majority of the ribs are missing, implying that if the ribs were there, it would be tmeah. Now there's no gulgolet mentioned here, there's no skull mentioned here at all. You only have the spinal column. So that would seem to indicate that we talk about each item independently. Each item independently would have the ability to make you tameh. So that's what Rabba concludes. Shvamina, Oshidra, Gugolit, Ktani. That's what's written in our Mishnah. Mar says, Halok Tani. Whatever you are saying now is not written in the Tosefta. Of course it's not written in the Tosefta. We're making a diok out of the Tosefta. And of course the Tosefta doesn't say that if you were not Gered, that you are Tmeya. Because that's the diuk that we're making. But what the Gemara's point is, your diuk may not be right. It's not written explicitly, and therefore the inference that you are drawing is not necessarily the proper inference. Hakamash Vilan, Techi Gered Tehora. What the Tosefta is telling you is when the ribs are broken off, it is Tehora. But, Idach Tibailach. If the ribs are there, then the question stands. Meaning that the Tosefta does not give us any definitive answer with regards to the spinal column with the ribs on it. There the Tosefta might agree that it's a question, and we don't know, because we don't know if you need the Gulgolet or not. All the Tosefta defines for us is when it is Tehora. We're not going to accept the inference that the opposite is true, that automatically that means that it is Tmeya. It's similar to what the Gemara did yesterday, when we try to make a similar inference, the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Chana's statement in yesterday's daf was true, but that doesn't mean you can infer from that the opposite is also true. It just means that what he is saying is true. The opposite is left open to the possibility of the question that we raised before. It's interesting that here, yesterday's daf we had with Rabbi Bar Chana, here the Gemara has it with the Tosefta and Olot, what the Gemara takes for standard fare in other places in Shas, which is if you have a statement, like as such, that you make a diuk that the opposite is true, if you can infer it. Here the Gemara twice said, maybe the other side of it is tibaylach, that the other side remains an open question. Should also know that Tosfot makes a point here. The Mishnayot in Tarot discuss the fact that there's a correlation between the tumah that emanates from an individual and a treifa, which means that if you have a spinal column that is missing a certain number of vertebrae, there's a machloket as how many it has to be missing in order for it not to be deemed a spinal column. So there, the halacha is mirrored, meaning that if there's enough of the vertebrae missing that it's not tumeah, that is also the threshold for when someone is deemed to be a treifa. So the same is true here as well. If we say that certain amount of items missing from the spinal column makes it tohara, that also would deem the item to be a treifa. So the two come hand in hand, as Tosfot points out, because whatever takes away the form or shape of this item so it's no longer deemed to be tmeah will also cause the item to be a treifa when you're talking about in a person who is alive or a person who has such a structure. So now, tashma. So we're going to learn it from this Tosefta. And this is a Tosefta, it's also a Mishnah in Ohalot, that discusses a machloka between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And we're going to spend some time on this, which is, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shisha Dvarim, Rabbi Akiva mitamei, v'chachamim mitaharim. There's six things which Rabbi Akiva says is tamei, and the Chachamim say are tahor. V'chazer bo Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva relented on his position. He reversed his position to say like the Chachamim. Umase sheviu kupa mleya atzamot lebeit kineset shel tarsim. There was an incident in which they brought a basket full of bones to the shul of the Tarsim, v'nichu be'avir, and they left it in the open space or an open area. The reason for that is that they didn't want it to be tumat ha'ohel. So they didn't bring it into a space where there was a roof over it, there was an oil over it, because then the tumah, if there was a problem, would spread. So they put it in a location where it won't cause tumat ha'ohel. V'nichnas todos arofe, v'chol arofim imo. Todos arofe, who appears in the Mishnayot, in Shas, appears a number of times that we see him in the capacity as a rofe, but an expert in anatomy and in the understanding of behemoth and in human beings, appears in the Gemara with regards to the removal of the womb of a animal, whether the animal can survive. We have him by the case of the Korban HaPesach. He makes cameo appearances all over Shas. From here, he's called in as an expert on anatomy. They want him to look at the bones and to determine what is the status of this basket of bones, because somehow a nazir passed over these bones, and now they want to know if this nazir undermined his nizirut. So they brought the bones to the Beit Knesset, and then they have Todos HaRofe and the other doctors come in to take a look at it. Now this Beit Knesset Shel Tarsim, the Mifaresh brings here three possible explanations as to what Tarsim are. Either Tzorfei Nechoshet, they are copper smelters, V'amrila Shiloto Uma. Others say that Tarsim is the name of a location, a name of a peoples, V'amrila Orgim. And some say that they were weavers. That goes to the famous story in Avodah Zarah, when Rabbi Eliezer was caught by the Malchut, and they ask him, why do they call you Rabbi? He says, I'm the Rabbi Shel Tarsim. I'm like the master weaver. And so then they bring in front of him the Erev and Sheti. They bring before him the warp and the woof. And they ask him, please tell us which is which. And of course, he doesn't have a clue because he's not a weaver. And over there, the Gemara tells the story that a bee showed up and landed on it. So that gave him a sense of which was which and helped him out. But he calls himself over there Rabban shel Parsim, and he's clearly saying that he's a weaver. So that's another possibility as to what these Tarsim are. The fact that they have a separate shul, we find that the Gemara Megillah with the shul in Alexandria, that they used to sit according to their profession, according to their guilds, their trade. The fact that they had a separate shul might be indicative of the fact that we're talking about the Tzorfei Nechoshet, because they smelled or had a odor to them, and that might have had them take a separate shul because other people did not want to associate with them because of that odor. Vamru, Ein kan shidra mimet echad. Todos makes the announcement. I checked the basket. There is not a single spinal column found over here. Taima deleka shidra demichado ha'ika. If there was, o shidra o gugolet demichado, negazir migaleach alei. Shvamina, o shidra o gugolet tanan. From Todos Arufa's announcement that he didn't find a single spinal column here, that indicates that had he found a single spinal column, that would have been sufficient grounds to say that the Nazir is Tameh and is Megaleach on it. That would indicate to us that again, O Shidra, O Gugolet, the Vav here is a Vav of or rather than a Vav of and. And then you need either or, either need the Shidra or the Gugolet, and it would have been sufficient had you found a single Shidra. But there's a bigger question you have to ask first, which is, even if he found the Shidra here, why would it be Tameh? It's Mifurak. It's broken into pieces. I mean, we already determined before that if all the ribs are broken off, gerid, if you don't have a spinal column intact, then it doesn't have a din of a spinal column. It's only in the kever, if it's mifureket, that it has a din where we combine it. So what do you think the Rishonim say? The case here is a case where a Nazir passed over a kever that had these bones in it. So the assumption was that the Kever was mitzaref, the bones of the Shidra, and because of that, it would have been Tameh. Again, it's not a din simply in bringing them together, that the kupa is sufficient grounds to consider it to be a spinal column that's together. Because we said before that it's a din in Kever, it's Alacha the Moshe Misinai by Kever, that the Kever is mitzaref, the bones. That doesn't mean that any item that brings them together will be mitzaref them. Unlike other situations, like the Mlot Harvad, that's a mot that we spoke about, the ladle full of atzamot. Over there, if you came into contact with them, they are considered to be separate entities. The spoon, the ladle, brings them together to give them their shame of a Mlot Harvad. Over here, that would not be the case. It's only in the kever that it causes them to be considered a single unit. Outside of the kever, even though they're in a basket, that may not be sufficient grounds to call them a single entity. So because of that, we have to assume that we're talking about a case of kever, otherwise it's not relevant. So Gemara says, similar to what you were suggesting, lo mi bayi kamar. It's saying not only this. Lo mi bayi shidra vil gugolet dimi meta chadleka. Not only did I not find a spinal column and a skull from a single mate, ela afilu o shidra mi meta chad, o gugolet dimi meta chadleka. There's not even a single spinal column or a single skull here. Not that he was telling you, had he found a single spinal column, that you would have been Tameh. He's just saying, I didn't even get there. Forget about trying to find a spinal column and a skull. I didn't even find one of the two that was there. I can't even find from Meitechat. So Namar says, Tashma Miminyano. Let's learn it out from the enumeration over here. So this goes back to this story of Rabbi Akiva. Mahin shisha dvarim shirbi kiva mitamei v'chachamim mitaharim. What are the six issues where Rabbi Kiva is mitamei and the chachamim are mitaher? Again, it's the Mishnah in Olot, in the second parak of Olot. Most of the Mishnayot that we've quoted so far from the Mishnah are the Mishnayot in parak bet of Olot. Our Mishnah parallels the first Mishnah in the parak. It continues a little bit into the second Mishnah. And then we've quoted along the way, trying to prove things, we've quoted the other Mishnayot, and we'll quote more of them today. So here, the Mishnah in Olot, in that second parak says, the machlok between them is, al ever min amet, sheba mishne meitim. The key element of the machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, we saw this drasha early in the Masechta, and the Gemara will bring it up again, is that Rabbi Kiva believes that these items that make you tameh can derive from two separate mateim. And the Chachamim believe that it can only derive from a single mate. It has to do with the drasha of al kol nafshot mate. The word nafshot is spelled without a vav in it, but it's pronounced as if it has a vav in it. So the difference between the, what's called the mikra and the misoret leads you to believe either it is in the plural form or that it is in the singular form. It's a machloket that is brought in the Gemara and Sanhedrin about aim lemisoret and aim lemikra. So Rabbi Akiva follows aim lemikra. The way that you read it is nafshot. So nafshot is plural. Therefore, even if it derives from two meitim, you are a tameh. The Chachamim say aim lemisoret. The misoret is even though it's pronounced nafshot, it's written in the singular form. And therefore, it's nefesh, it only can come from a single mate, it can't come from multiple mateim. So all of the machlokot that are mentioned here of these six are along those lines, which is, it's from two mateim, is it mitameh? So, al eiver min hamet shebah mishnei mateim. An eiver min hamet that comes from two mateim. Al eiver min hachai shebah mishnei bnei adam. Or an eiver min hachai, where you meet the minimum requirement when it comes from two mateim. Al chatzi kav atzamot shebah mishnei mateim. Half a cup of atzamot that come from two meitim. V'arvit adam abam mishnayim. Or v'arvit adam that comes from two individuals. Val etzim kiseura shenechlak lishnayim. Or, here you're talking about a bone the size of a barley seed. So we're not talking about it came from two people, but it split. It was broken in half. V'ashidra v'gugolet. Here we have six items that are mentioned in terms of machloket. Eiver min hamet. Eiver min hachai, chatzi kav atzamot, revi'it adam, etzim kiseora, and now number six is shidra v'gulgolet. So if you're looking at the number six as being the machlokeot between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, that means that they're combining together shidra and gulgolet as one entity, not as separate items. So from here, the Gemara wants to prove that the Mishnah, when it says shidra and gulgolet, means Vigulgolet means and gulgolet. It's not a separate shidra or gulgolet. Visakadatko. If you believe, o shidra, o gulgolet, hani shiva havyon, then there'd be seven things that they argue about. The Gemara here is going to bring numerous answers to deal with that and say that there's no proof from here. It says, kik toni, when it says it's kol heche di pligi alei rabim. They're only enumerating in the six instances where the majority argues on Rabbi Akiva, or the plurality argues on Rabbi Akiva. Afuke etzem kiseora, to accept the case of etzem kiseora, which in the Mishnah there, in Olot, the yachadu de poligale, there's only a single individual argues on him, titnan, if the Mishnah in Olot, again, we're up to ready, there's Mishnah Vav there, etzem kiseora, shenechlak deshnaim, you have this barley-sized bone that's been split in half, Rabbi Akiva mitamei, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mitaher. So over there, it's only a yachid that argues on him, and we could invoke possibly the principle that halacha k'Rabbi Akiva michavero versus velo michaverav, but not when the plurality argue on him, and therefore the Mishnah, when it enumerates the six, etzem kiseora, is not part of that enumeration, even though that is Rabbi Akiva's position, it's not enumerated as one of the items where he argues on the chachamim, because he doesn't argue on the chachamim in that case. V'ivai dema, another alternative is, ki tani av eiver min hamet, eiver min hachai lo tani. Eiver min hamet is mentioned, eiver min hachai should not be in this list, because you could say which one of these doesn't belong. When you look at all the other items there, they are derivatives of the mate. Eiver min hachai is something that comes from a live person, but in addition to that, eiver min hachai has the same din as eiver min hamet. We've seen that in the Mizrachta that there is a parallel between Eiver Min Hachai and Eiver Min Hamet. We actually quoted the Mishnayot and Olot that compare the two and say that Eiver Min Hamet has certain chumrot that come up with the bones of the mate. And maybe you can't extrapolate from one to the other. But at least in general, Eiver Min Hachai is no more chamur than Eiver Min Hamet or has the same din as Eiver Min Hamet. And therefore you wouldn't have to enumerate it separately. They could be a single category. Vibay Teima, and another alternative is, Kitani koeched de nazir megaleach al ahilo. The only things that are mentioned here where they have a machloket is the cases where the nazir would be deemed to have ruined, undermined his nizirut. Those are the ones that we enumerate in the six. Lafuke etzem kiseura delo. To accept the case of etzem kiseura, which we already know from our Mishnah, is mitamei b'magal b'masa. It's only mitamei when you come into contact with it or you carry it. It's not mitamei be'ohel. So it's only mentioning those items that affect the nazir from tumat ohel, not items that only affect him from magal masa. So that would leave out etzem kiseura. V'ibayitemu. Another alternative is kitane kohecha dehader be. They only enumerate the cases there where Rabbi Akiva relented on his position that he agreed to the chachamim in the end. Lafuke Revi Adam delo hader be. To accept the case of Revi Adam where he didn't reverse it. What the Gemara is doing here in all these alternatives is saying that you have a number six. Question is, what does the six refer to in the Mishnah in Olot, in the Tosefta in Olot, in this machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, which are the six that are mentioned there? There are seven items that are enumerated. One possibility, which is the first possibility the Gemara gave, is that Shidra v'Gulgolet is one item. And that would have brought us to the conclusion that it has to be Shidra and Gulgolet, not Shidra or Gulgolet. But then the Gemara offers up other alternatives to get to six from the seven that are enumerated there. Leave out Eiver Min Achai. Let us say that Etzem Kiseura is a machloket with the Yachid. Leave that one out. Leave out Etzem Kiseura, it's not Mitamei Ba'ohel. Or leave out the case where Rabbi Akiva still holds his position of Rabbi Adam. And that way you can get to the number six, even if you say Shidra or Gulgolet, if you keep them as separate items, and you could still have the number six appear here. One out of these is a possibility of how you can enumerate the six, not all of them together. You have seven items, and you have the number six. So you have to figure out, which one do I eliminate? So here it's giving all different logics as to which one you should eliminate. Again, you could eliminate Shidra and Gulgolet and say it's and not or. But there are other alternatives as well. All the Gemara is doing is offering you other alternatives to get from the seven to six that don't demand that you say Shidra or and Gulgolet. Maybe you could say Shidra or Gulgolet. So Damarle Rabbi Lebar Kapara. Rabbi says to Rabbi Gara, Lo Tishaneh Revi'i Dam B'chazara. Don't say that Revi'i Dam, Rabbi Akiva, reversed his position. Sharei Limudo Shall Rabbi Akiva Biado. Because he has the drosha in hand. That's number one. Number two is V'od HaMikra Mitzayo. The pasuk supports his position, which is Al Kol Nafsho Meit Lo Yavo. So here you have the reasoning behind Rabbi Akiva's position with regards to Revi Adam is because of the Al Kol Nafsho Meit, which is the pasuk that teaches us this din. And since the pasuk teaches us the din, number one, Limido Biyodo, meaning that he has the limud that comes from Nazir about the Kol Nafsho Meit, and therefore that he learns out the halacha from a drasha. That's number one. Number two is the pasuk itself. When you read it, the pashtut of pasuk is like Rabbi Akiva. It says nafshot in the plural. The chachamim are the ones who have the more difficult position because they are using aim lemesorah the way that it's written, which shows that it maybe it's pronounced nafshot, but maybe you shouldn't think of it in that way. You should think of it as a nefesh. So for that reason, Rabbi Akiva stands his ground with regards to this one item. So as opposed to the other items, where maybe that was an extrapolation from the din by Revi'it Lo Gdam, but that extrapolation, maybe he dropped those or he reversed his position there. But the Ikar Limud, which comes for Revi'it Dam, there he held his position. He did not reverse it. That's what Rabbi says to Bar Kapara. And you have to understand here that it's interesting. Rabbi Kiva's position actually has two ramifications over here. It's not clear from the Mishnayot, but the Rishonim pointed out here, which is that Rabbi Akiva's position is, number one, that Revi Adam is sufficient grounds to cause the Nazir to be Megaleach. As opposed to our Mishnah, which says that it is Chatzi Log Dam. That's the first issue. The second issue is, even for that Revi Adam, Rabbi Akiva allows it to come from Shnei Mitim instead of Meit Echad. So there's actually two levels of Machloket over here. What is the threshold of dam that causes the nazir to be megaleach? Remember, the Mishnah in Olot says Revi Adam is mitamei bohel. Our Mishnah over here says chatzid log dam, and we noted over there that was the halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim that even though Revi Adam is mitamei bohel, the threshold for nazir was a chatzid log dam. Rabbi Akiva obviously does not subscribe to that. Halacha the Moshe Misayin says that Reviyat Adam is sufficient, but he also darshins from the Al Nafshot Meit. So that's what Limudo Biyado is. You can see that in the Mifereish. Shrei Limudo Biyado. Limudo Aruch Kach. Shehu Mitamei Venazir Megalech. Fachamim Armim. Shehu Ba Mimeit Echad. Hari Zeh Mitamei. Chamim disagree and say that's only when it comes from one mate is Mitamei Boel. Avalena Nazir Megalech Alav. Achei Bo. Right here, you can see there are all these girsa changes here. Here, the Mifereish says Reviyat Alog, but that's not true. It should be Achei Bo Chatzi Log. Until there's a Chatzi Log there. So the Chachamim require a Chatzi Log Dam, plus they require that from a single mate, not from multiple mateim. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, believes that Reviyat Alog is sufficient ground, plus it's Mishnei Mateim, it would still be considered to be Tamei Ba'olel, and it would affect the Nazir as well. Then Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now Rabbi Shimon is addressing the same issue as Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon says, Ad Yamav Hayah Mitamei. Until the last days of Rabbi Akiva, he was Tamei. Imi Shemait Chazar Bo Eini Yodea. If he reversed his position after he died, I don't know of that. Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. And so Rabbi Shimon says, as long as I learned by Rabbi Akiva, he was not Chuzer. But if you're telling me he was Chuzer, then maybe after he passed away, there was a reversal. Rabbi Shimon is saying it in a sarcastic or a little more of a funny way. And afterwards he felt guilty about the way that he expressed it, that he didn't speak with proper kavod towards his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. And we see because of that he says, Tana, Hushkuru Shinav Mipnei Taniyotav, that his teeth turned black from all the fast that he undertook because he felt that he had spoken improperly about his Rebbe. You can see that both in the Mifereish, Tosafot as well says, wasn't appropriate to speak about his Rebbe like this, that, oh, his whole life he didn't reverse it, but maybe after he died he reversed it. Right? So it's interesting, he is addressing, or his statement is towards those that are claiming that Rabbi Akiva reversed his position. So he is defending the position of Rabbi Akiva, but the way that he expressed it, he could have done it in a nicer way, something that was more kavod towards his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. So you're right, it is interesting, it's very nuanced, because he's really in defense of Rabbi Akiva here. Nevertheless, he felt that it was inappropriate, or the way that he did it. Because the Mefarish says, maybe after he died, he reversed his position, which obviously he didn't. And that was problematic. We saw this together in the Gemara in Chagiga with regards to Rabbi Yoshua, who speaks about Beit Shammai in a somewhat disparaging manner, saying, I don't understand their position in the Mishnah. And again, he undertook many fasts, because he had spoken disparagingly about Beit Shammai. Tashma, D'Tanya, we can see here on the side that he points out that even though this is a Mishnah, nevertheless the Gemara is calling it a Braita because it's going to bring certain pieces here that are not included in the Mishnah itself. So even though it parallels the Mishnah, there's extra items here which also make it into a Braita or deem it to be a Braita. D'Tanya, Beit Shammai Omrim, Rova Atzamot Mina Atzamim. Their misora was that this rova atzamot that is mitamei ba'ohel has comes from mina atzamim, comes from a plurality of bones. O mishnayim, o mishlosha. And here they determine that the word atzamim means two or three bones. So this rova atzamot that is mitamei ba'ohel, that comes from two or three bones. Beitil omrim, rova mina gvia. Their misora was that the rova atzamot comes from the body. What does that mean? Mirov ha-binyan, oh, mirov ha-minyan. So that means that it comes from the body, body meaning that the entirety of the body. So you have to get a rove of something that has to do with the entirety of the body. That's either rove minyan or rove binyan. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, yecholni asot divrei Beit Shammai ve-divrei Beit Hillel ke-achad. So this is what's added in that's not found in the Mishnah, is this statement of Rabbi Yeshua, which says that I can equate the positions of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, that they're not really arguing in substance, they're just arguing in form, how they express it, but not that they have a different conclusion. Beit Shammai omrim mishnayim umishlosha. What does that mean from two or three bones? O mishnei shokayim v'yerach echad. O mishnei yerachayim v'shok echad. The three bones that they're speaking about over here are three bones that comprise the majority of the binyan of the individual. Hoyel v'rov, here, gov'o shel adam, it's really probably should be rov gova shel adam. So therefore, since it is the rov of the height of the individual, and that's the same thing that Beit Hillel says. Beit Hillel Amrim, Minagvia, Omri of Binyan, Omri Mivyan, Hoel Vyeshnam Bimifarkeya Daim Raglaim, because you have it in the component parts of the hands and of the feet. So let's talk about the equating of their position. We mentioned this yesterday. Binyan of the individual is talking about the skeletal structure, the height of the upright individual. And we said that there were five bones that comprise the height of the individual. Those are the legs, which are about half the height of the individual, and the other half is the spinal column. So the five bones that can comprise the height of the individual is the spinal column, the two thighs, and then the two rechayim, or the two calves, or the lower legs. So there are four bones from the legs, and then the spinal column is one bone. So you have five bones that comprise it. If you have to have rov binyan, that means you need three out of those five. So what Rabbi Yeshua says is, well, if Beit Shammai says you need the Rov HaTzimut to come from two or three bones, then I can say you know what three bones they require to come from? The two thighs and one lower leg, or the two lower legs and one thigh. Then they also end up having Rov Binyan. And basically, now you've equated the position of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So what he's saying, I can get Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel to have a singular position here, which is that they both believe that the Rov HaTzimut has to come from Rov Binyan. Now, what is Rov HaGvia? So there, how do you have a situation in which it's the rov of the minyan, but it's not the rov of the binyan? The rov minyan means that you have to get to, out of the 248 limbs or ivarim of the individual, you need to get to 125 of them. So if you have 125, in all likelihood, you've also hit rov binyan. So what he suggests is that rov minyan comes from the hands and the feet, where you have multiple small bones, and that all the joints and all the small bones of the hands and the feet mean that you can get to high numbers without getting to the totality of the rov binyan of the individual. So over there, again, what you could argue is that Beit Shammai is saying that the rov comes from two or three evarim, then you can claim that the evarim also have the rov minyan in them. And they could agree to Beit Hillel in that case as well, which is that when Beit Hillel says that it comes from the rov minyan, they're talking about gibul evarim, three evarim that contain within large numbers of bones. And those are the hands and the feet, which contain large number of bones, but even though you're only talking about three evarim, three limbs. So that's, he says, the way that I could equate their position. Shammai omer, afilu etzim minas shidra, omina gugolet. Shammai says that even a single bone from the spinal column or from the skull, that would be sufficient here. Gemara seems to think from here that he says, afilu etzim min ha-shidra, o min ha-gulgolet. He doesn't require that it come from both items. He just requires that it comes from a singular of these items. Gemara says, shani shamai de-machmir. Shamai is a machmir over here. Can't bring me proof from shamai that it's o shidra or gulgolet, because what he says by Rov HaTzimut, Shammai over here is an extreme machmir. He's even machmir more than Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Even in the reading where they argue, he's more machmir than both of them. The Rosh says over here that the Gemara is trying to prove from Shammai's position to the other Chachamim. And it brings Shammai's position, and based on that, wants to reflect on the Chachamim, because Michlau de Rabbanu de Pliga Elei Itluhu de Rov HaTzimut Abamehem Tameh. It would imply that a Rov HaTzimut that comes from them is Tameh. Deal of Hochi, if it wasn't for that, Kamiflagat Liplugdayu Tuva. Their Machloket is too extreme, too far apart. So the fact that there is such a big divide between the position of the Chachamim and Shammai indicates to us that their Machloket cannot revolve around this. And if Shammai says that a single bone from these items is mitameh, then the Chachamim must believe that a rov akav that comes from these items is sufficient. The answer of the Gemara is, shani Shammai de machmir, that Shammai is a machmir over here. His position is extreme. And if his business is extreme, then it can't reflect on the position of the Chachamim. And now the Gemara is going to, now the Gemara wants to say, well, if Shammai is that extreme opinion, then let this at least reflect on the position of the Chachamim. That their position is so far away from Shammai that we can conclude something about the position of the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. With regards to Shammai's position, it can't prove anything to us because Shammai is a Machmir. But nevertheless, Lifshot Mina Taima the Shammai Machmir. Let us leave out the word Beit. It doesn't make sense here to put in Beit Shammai. But rather, because Shammai is Machmir, that's why he says it. Ha, Rabbonon Adika Shidra Vigul Golit. Implying here that the Chachamim would require that there be both a Shidra and Gulgolit. Shammai's opinion is a Chumrah. That he says even an Etzem from the Shidra or the Gulgolit would be sufficient. But if you're calling him a Machmir, that means that the Chachamim disagree. And when they disagree, they would say that it has to be both from the Shidra and Gulgolit. And there again, we have now proof that the word is and not or. Where it says, no. Adkan lo pligi rabbanan alei deshamai, ela be'etzem echad, dati min ha-shidra min ha-gulgolit. They only argue about the fact that it's one bone that derives from these items. Aval heichad de'ite be'enei, but maybe if it was intact, afilu chada minhon, even one of them would be sufficient. The argument of the Chachamim on Shammai, who is a Machmir over here, is with regards to the fact that he says if you have a single bone that derives from these, that's enough or that's sufficient grounds to make Tumat Olel. What the Chachamim say is, no go. There's no way. That's not enough. They're not necessarily arguing on his statement that it's Shidra or Gulgolit. That's not what they're arguing. They're arguing about the fact that he says one derivative bone from them is enough. They say, no, you need the whole thing. But when you have the whole thing, maybe they agree with him that it's O Shidra or Gulgolit. You could still call Shammai a Machmir, have the Rabbanan argue on him, and still say that it's Shidra or Gulgolit and not Shidra and Gulgolit. That issue is not the pivotal issue between them. The issue between them is the number of bones, or right, the size of the bone that you need here. Is it enough to have a derivative of the Shidra Gulgolit, or you need the whole Shidra Gulgolit here? Bayi Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama poses a question. Rova Atzamot min Shidra Gulgolit. If you have a Rova Atzamot that derives from the Shidra Gulgolit, my, what's the din? Kitani Chatzi Kav Atzamot. When we say that the requirement by Nazir in our Mishnah for the threshold for a Nazir to come to me is a chatzi kav atzamot, that's heichad ika mishar iverav. That's only when it comes from other limbs. Aval min ha-shidra v'gulgolit d'chamire. The shidra and gulgolit which stand alone are much more machmir. Afilu rov atzamot. Even rov atzamot. Now if you remember back on the Mishnah, when we discussed Shidra and Gulgolit, we asked what was the Chiddush of Shidra and Gulgolit in the Mishnah, because even Rova Atzamot, even if you have a measurement of Atzamot, in our Mishnah it's Chatzi Kav, in the Mishnah Na'olot it's Rova Kav, but if you have that amount of bones, then you're Mitamei Boel. So what's the Chiddush of Shidra and Gulgolit? Because Shidra and Gulgolit will meet that minimum threshold. They have a Rova Kav or Chatzi Kav, it'll meet that requirement. So what is the Mishnah adding when it says Shidra and Gulgolit? So if you remember, Tosafot notes that when it says Shidra v'Gulgolit, that is even if it doesn't have Rova Akav, or even it doesn't have Chatzi Akav in it. So that says Shidra v'Gulgolit, Afo Pi, Shein Alei Basar Klau, even if it doesn't have Basar on it, and even though it doesn't have a Rova Akav Atzamot. The Chiddush of Shidra and Gulgolit as a whole is that they don't have to have this minimum threshold that is needed for any other set of bones. Now, that's when they're whole. Now, what Rami Bar Chama is suggesting is, just like when they are whole, there's a chumrah to Shidra and Gulgolit, maybe even when they are in component parts, and you have them now as atzamot, they're a bunch of bones together, maybe there too, they should have a different standing or status than other Evarim. Everything else is judged by the threshold of a chatzi kav atzamot. Maybe Shidra Gulgolit should be judged by Rova Hakav, just like on a standalone basis, if you had a whole Shidra and Gulgolit, you wouldn't require the minimum shiurim. So to over here, maybe when they are brought in that shiur, maybe they have a lower threshold. So that's what he says there. Maybe makes no difference. Once they are not whole, they don't have that status anymore, and they now devolve to the din that applies to all other bones, which it is chatzi akav for nazir, not rov akav. Amrovo tashma hashidra val gugolit. What about in our Mishnah the case of shidra gugolit? V'isakadatcha rov atzamot dati min hashidra gugolit chamir litne a rov atzamot abai min hashidra. You should have added another case in the Mishnah where the nazir is migaleach. I mean that the example in the Mishnah is shidra vil gulgolet. So if you are right now that by the nazir, a rova kavatzamot that comes from a shidra and gulgolet would be sufficient grounds to undermine the nazir, then there's another case that should have been mentioned in the Mishnah. Chatzi kavatzamot from other items. Shidra and gulgolet stand alone. And then the third case, which is rova kav that comes from shidra and gulgolet. The fact that it doesn't mention that case shows you that that must not be the case over here. Rava is really speaking about his machlok between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim, Rabbi Kiva mentions in the end, Shidra and Gugolot is one of those items where they argue. That Rabbi Kiva's position is that Shidra and Gugolot is mitameh. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva. So if this is another point of disagreement between them, it should have been another item that's mentioned in the list of items that they argue on. Or again, in our Mishnah, which also mentions Shidra and Gugolot, it should also be mentioned there as well. Mar says, "Varha Rava Hu Damar Lo Nitzricha Elo LeShidra VeGulgolit She'ein Bayam Rova Atzamot." Isn't Rava the one who said that the case in our Mishnah? Why does it enumerate Shidra and Gugolit? Is to teach us a case where the Shidra and Gugolit don't have the minimum shiur of Rova Atzamot. He says, "Boter the Shomim Rabbi Akiva." That was after he heard it from Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't mean that he literally heard it from Rabbi Akiva. But rather, after he realized that Rabbi Akiva did not take that position, then he changed his mind. So that Shidra and Gugolet, She'en Bayam Rova Atzamot, they are Chashive. They have a certain amount of status. And that, in the beginning, he did hold that Rova Atzamot was the din that was brought over here with regards to Shidra and Gugolet. But then, after he was proven wrong, because it's not in the list between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, so right now, Lukuliyama, Chatzi Kav Atzamot, Be'inan, Ben Bishar Atzamot, Ben Baro, Ben Yeno, Ro, Ben Yeno, Ben Bishadrav, Gugolet. Chatzi Kav becomes the threshold, because otherwise Rabbi Kiva should have noted this as an additional item. Now, but here with Rava Huda Amar, that Rava said, Lo Nitzrucha L'Shidra Gugolet, we don't have any statement like this in Rava. You can see here in the Mesorot HaShas, he points back to Daf Nun. If you look back on Daf Nun, the Girsa in our Gemara is, with regards to Rava is, Lo Nitzrucha L'Ro, Ben Yeno, Rov Minyano, Shein Bahen Rov Atzamot. That din is said about Rov Minyan and Rov Binyan, that doesn't add up to Rov Atzamot. But that's not necessarily said about Shidra and Gugolet. If you remember back then, Tosfot brought a girsa from the Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam's girsa in the Gemara on Daf Nun is, Lo Nitzricha Ela L'Shidra V'Gugolet Shein Bahen Rov Atzamot. That's exactly what the Rabbeinu Tam argues. Where did Rava say this before? Back on Daf Nun. And that's why he changes the girsa back on Daf Nun to read Shidra and Gugolet. Tosafot rejects. And so does the Rosh over there reject. He says, V'leta l'hach girsa. The Rosh says that girsa is incorrect. Tahatani b'mitnita and Shidra of Gugolet. Shidra and Gugolet are explicit in our Mishnah. You don't need Rava to tell you the din of Shidra and Gugolet. That's pachod min Rava Atzamot. It's obvious from the Mishnah. Rov Binyano and Rov Binyano, which are not found in our Mishnah, not Mishnah here, Mishnah Olot, it is found. But in our Mishnah, it's not found. That is a Chiddush that Rabbi would be adding something to. So therefore, Tosfot and the Rosh back on Daf Nun reject the Rabbeinu Tam's Girsa. But what was driving the Rabbeinu Tam is exactly our Gemara over here, which is Av Rava Huda Amar. Rava said this. Where did Rava say this? The only other statement that we have of Rava that is even similar in nature is that statement back on Daf Nun, and that's why the Rabbeinu Tam said that the Girsa back on Daf Nun should be Shidra and Gugolet. Obviously, what the Tosfot and the Rosh say, that Rava Hu Damar doesn't mean that it appeared somewhere else. It means Rava said this. We don't have it. We don't have it mentioned, but this is a statement that Rava had made. And that's what the Mefaresh notes over here, that the Hadik Tani is talking about Rava's statement back on Daf Nun with regards to Rov Minyano or Rov Binyano. And from that, we would infer or extrapolates vuadin the shidrav gulgolit shein behen rov atzamot da chashivik ha'adodi, because they are equivalent, rov minyano, rov minyano, and shidrav gulgolit have the same din. That means that Rova believes that the shidra and the gulgolit have the same status as chatzin kav atzamot, that is the threshold by other bones, even though Rova himself suggested before that the threshold was rova atzamot. But again, that was his initial assessment of the situation. After he realized that Rabbi Akiva did not argue on the Chachamim on that point, he relented on that position and said that chatzin kav applies across the board, and the threshold for shidran gulgolit would be the same chatzin kav atzamot. Now the way we explain the Gemara here is according to the sheet of the Mifaresh, that the question is with regards to the chashivut of the shidra and the gulgolit. That's what prompts Rami Bar Chama to suggest that maybe there is a different din with regards to the shi'ur. Rova retorts and says, if there was a difference in the shi'ur, then it should have appeared in the Mishnalot, or the Tosefta, that describes the machlokot between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, where their arguments revolve around whether it comes from Meit Echad and then Shnat Shnei Meitim, but not about the shi'urim. And then the Gemara, based on Rova's statement back in Daf Nun, extrapolates and says, but didn't he say otherwise about our Mishnah? And the Gemara's conclusion is that after he realized that Rabbi Akiva did not argue on this point, he then reversed his position. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot believe that the position of Rova over here, when he's answering the question of Rami Bar Chama, really derives from the fact that Rova believes that a Shidra and Gugola together, their minimum size always clears Rova Akav Atzamot. And therefore, by the Mishnah writing Shidra and Gugolit, and not Rova Hakav Atzamot min a Shidra and Gugolit, tells you something about the Shidra and Gugolit, which is that it's telling you that the din of Shidra and Gugolit is about the items themselves, the whole items themselves, and not about the quantitative amount of bones that is found there. Because if it was about the quantitative amount of bones that was found there, then the Mishnah should have mentioned that Rova Akav, because that is the default of a Shidra and Gugolit, is that they exceed a Rova Akav Atzamot. And that's the question. If the Stam situation is a case where Shidra and Gugolit are above Rova Akav Atzamot, then it would have been a bigger Chiddush to mention the Mishnah, Rova Akav Atzamot min a Shidra or min a Gugolit, because that's a greater Chiddush than just saying Stam Shidra v'gulgolit, because that's a shiur that would be below the standard shidra and gulgolit that you would find. And that's what Rava's question is over here. The fact that the Mishnah does not mention it shows you that the Mishnah does not believe that Rova Akav Atzamot is relevant by shidra and gulgolit. The Gemara then challenges Rava from a statement that is not found in our Gemara, and that has to do with the problem in the Girsa of Boter the Shama me Rabbi Akiva. After he heard it from Rabbi Akiva, which usually is not a terminology that's used for an Amora, referencing back to a Tana, and therefore the Tosafot over here brings an alternate Girsa that says that it was Mar Ukva, and not Rabbi Akiva. The Rosh also has a similar suggestion, which is that now there's a statement from Mar Ukva, Amar Mar Ukva, Hocha b'Shidra b'Gugolit she'en behen Rova. That the case here is a case when the Shidra and the Gulgolit have less than a Rova Kav of Atzamot. And then that's when the Gemara raises the issue, why doesn't Rova subscribe to Mar Ukva's position? From Rova's statement before, it seems like the minimum shiur for Rova Kav of Atzamot is always, at least, a minimum shiur for Shidra and Gulgolit is always a Rova Kav Atzamot. Yet we have Mar Ukva suggesting that you can have a young child, you can have a small baby that has a Shidra and Gugolit that do not add up to Rova Akav Atzamot. The Gemara wants to know, why doesn't Rova also believe that's true? And then the Gemara's answer is, Boter the Shama me Mar Ukva. After you heard it from Mar Ukva, then Rova changed his mind, he relented on his position and said that a Shidra and Gugolit could also be less than a Rova Akav Atzamot. And in essence, Rova's answer to Rabbi Bar Chama no longer is valid because it's premised on the fact that he believes that a Shidra and Gugolit were above a Rova Atzamot. And the fact that the Mishnah doesn't mention the measure shows you that the Mishnah is makpid on Shidra and Gogolet as a whole, but not that Rov HaKav is a threshold. But now we see that a Shidra and Gogolet, the Chiddush could be that it's less than a Rov HaKav, and it doesn't tell you or give you any information with regards to a Rov HaKav of Atzamot. That is a girsa that the Tosafot brings from the Lashon HaMarpash and changes the girsa. He brings another example that Rashi does a similar thing in Zbachim, where it seems to be a piece of the Gemara is missing, and therefore through these tikkunim, they're able to reconstruct what they think the girsa should have been in the Gemara. In the end, the Tosafot brings from a Rabbi Yaakov Mikinon that he'd rather keep the girsa of the Gemara intact, and therefore he says, Botot de Mishama de Rabbi Akiva, that Rava was basing his conclusion on the Mishnah in Olot that says Shidra and Gogolet, and over there, Rova Kabat Samot is a threshold. And Tosafot, the Shitato, says that Rova's proposition is that Shidra and Gogolet must be greater than a Rova Kabat Samot. The Gemara says, how can you say that? Rava himself says that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Shidra and Gogolet that is less than a Rova Kabat Samot, and that's the whole Chiddush here. So Gemara says that Boter the Shaman Rabbi Akiva, meaning that he's referencing the Mishnah in Olot that mentions a Rov HaKav Atzamot, and also in addition to that mentions Shidra v'Gogolet Mishnei Meitim, where it's clear that the Chiddush of Shidra and Gogolet must be that they are below the level of Rov HaKav Atzamot. And so the Gemara says, Eino Chanami, after Rova realized what was happening in the Mishnah in Olot or in Rabbi Akiva's Machlok with the Chachamim, he then had to adjust his position. So that second answer in Tosafot is very similar to the Mifaresh, that his proof is from Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah on Olot, in the Brayta on Olot, except for the Mifaresh, the Chazara here is the Chazara from his explanation of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, he says that it was Pachot Mirova Kavatzamot, he reverses that position based on the fact that that is not found in the Machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Whereas according to Tosafot's second explanation, that in the Mishnah in Olot, where Rabbi Akiva has two separate in your name, one Rov HaKav Atzamot, and second one, which is Shidra and Gogolet, proves that Shidra and Gogolet must be below Rov HaKav Atzamot. And therefore, the reversal here is the reversal of Rova's original position, which is that a Shidra and Gogolet must always be above the threshold of a Rov HaKav Atzamot. And so that's the position that gets reversed over here, versus the Mifaresh, who thinks that the reversal is of Rova's position back on Daf Nun and over here, which is that the Chiddush in the Mishnah is that these items are less than Rov HaKav Atzamot, but that's undermined by his diuk out of the Mishnah in Olot, where he says that then Rabbi Akiva should have been arguing on that point. The fact that he didn't shows you that that can't be the Chiddush over there, and Shidra Gogolet must have been a case where it is above the threshold of Rov HaKav Atzamot. The Rosh over here brings a third approach to this Gemara. He says something interesting. He says, Nira debayit Rami Barchama talio, behachtami baylonel. This question Rami Barchama is really premised on the question that we asked before, whether the girsa and the Mishnah should be Shidra v'Gogolet or Shidra o'Gogolet, not. The pshita lay the Rami Barchama. Rami Barchama has a conclusion with regards to that, that e Shidra v'Gogolet, not, that had it written Shidra v'Gogolet and Gogolet, then by chatzikav, the alochamiri. Then for sure you would need a chatzikav of atzamot, because then Shidra and Gogolet are not so chamur. They're no different than any other item. You can have Shidra and Gogolet together. Then that's no different than Rov Minyano, Rov Binyano. Ella, and if it said that it was Shidra or Gogolet, then it definitely should be Rov HaKav, because then it's very chamur, the Shidra and Gogolet. And then the question basically is, the same question that we asked before, whether it's Shidra v'Gogolet or Shidra o'Gogolet, and the outcome of the Nafkamina will be whether the threshold is Rova Kavatzamot or Chatzi Kavatzamot. So what the Rosh does is he connects Rami Bar Chaim's question to the previous Machloket and says that Rami Bar Chaim's question really revolves around what do you believe the meaning of Shidra v'Gogolet is in the Mishnah. If it's O, then it means for sure the threshold's Rov HaKav. If you think it's and, then the threshold is definitely Chatzi HaKav. And that's what he's asking. Is it Rov HaKav or Chatzi HaKav? And that's what Rova comes to address and say, it can't be Rov HaKav, Which would mean then, the conclusion is, according to the way the Rosh reads it, that it would have to be Shidra v'gulgolitznan. But then the Gemara, depending on how you read the remainder of the Gemara, the Rosh happens to read it like the Balei HaTosafot, the remainder of the Gemara then rejects this statement of Rava, and then we're back to the stage one where we don't know whether it's a Rova Akav or a Chatzi Akav, and that means that we also don't know whether it should be Shidra Ogulgolitznan or Shidra Vigulgolitznan. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down by the Tashma on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is still trying to figure out when we say Shidra and Gulgolit, does it mean Shidra and Gulgolit or Shidra or Gulgolit?